Okay, well-known passage, well-known story about the widow who puts in out of her poverty. You all know the story, it's for only a few verses. As opposed to, she gave out of her poverty, as opposed to most people, the rank and file, who gave out of their wealth. Meaning what? Well, they put something in, but it never made a dent on their bank balance. They put something in, but it wasn't sacrificial giving. That's the point that Jesus is making. So they gave, but they made sure that they were still all right and walked away. They didn't miss what they gave. Now, I remember when I was teaching this time of year, inevitably somebody would be moving on to promotion somewhere else, or somebody would be retiring, and a busy Brenda would come around with a little notebook, and she'd say, Keith is leaving. Would you like to give towards a leaving present? And one or two occasionally would say, I don't really know him. In other words, they wouldn't give anything. I don't really know him, never really met him. Most, I think, would ask a question, how much has everybody else given? But one or two wouldn't ask. They just put their hand in their purse or wallet, and they'd be generous and they'd give. Now, since the Lord is a giver, God is a giving God, how great is the love that he has lavished upon me, the Apostle John bursts into praise. For God so loved, we just sang it, that he gave. Since God is a giver, when you look at the early church in the New Testament, we find there's a lot about giving, quite a lot about giving. And here's this widow's gift to God. Financially, it's not much. It's the bare minimum, two mites, the smallest coins possible. But to her, it's a massive amount, because she's poor. She's got very, very little. She gives out of the overflow of her heart. What she is given compared to what she has is miles more compared to what everybody else is given. That's the thing. And so it is today, as you sit there now, you've endured some songs and the Bible reading and the kids' story and so on. If you're a healthy Christian, it shows in lots of ways, but one of the ways is, what do you give? If you give sacrificially, there's every encouragement that you're a healthy Christian. Because your giving is an expression of your love for Jesus. It's that simple. I remember as a young Christian, and there was a group I worked with in the science department, and inevitably lunchtime, there'd be six or seven people in this large prep room between the two physics labs, and I'd try and tell them about Jesus and normally not get very far. And I remember once then, I just thought, well, I'll try a different tack today as we're having our sandwiches, whatever. And I started to talk about how much, because they were all church and chapel goers, you see. And I just started to say about tithing. Well, it was like an atom bomb going off. They were furious. How dare you suggest? I said, oh, I'm not suggesting. Jesus talks a lot about gifts, offerings. I assume then, therefore, that they're in addition to your 10%. Well, 10% of what these people were earning was a lot of money. And they were furious because they didn't love Jesus. So they gave a few pounds, probably a year. Now, I'm not much into drama. Definitely not much into drama in church. But I saw mime once. I'm not an actor, I'm not very good at reproducing this kind of thing, but the actor who was acting it out was a Christian, and he was acting out being in the pew as the collection plate came round. We don't have a plate, do you? We have a box in the corner, right? But the plate was coming round, and he was acting, and the plate came, and he put his hand in his pocket, and he put something in, and he went to move it on, and then he paused, and he looked up to God. There was no word spoken, but it's brilliantly acted out. Put some more in, see? Went to move it on. And in the end, the bottom line is, he dives into the plate himself. And then God is pleased. And it was powerful. It was powerful. He gives himself. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't put a few quid in the plate. He gave himself. I lay down my life for my sheep, he said. Now, there was a missionary some years ago But this is how he began to be a missionary. He was in a meeting. He'd just been engaged. Charles, his name was. He had his fiancée by his side. She had a ring on. And they just had a moving account of the work going on in China. How there were millions and millions in China who'd never heard anything. And there was this little missionary, and he'd been out there banging his head against a brick wall, but occasionally they'd have a convert. But he was passionate about serving the Lord. And then the collection plate came round, and Charles put all the money he had in his pocket in. And of course, she didn't have any cash. You know, he had the cash. But when it came to her, she took her engagement ring on. They only just got engaged that day, and she put it in. And he looked at her and he thought, wow, so it's not just me that's fired up here. She is as well. And 6 months later, they had started training, and off they went, and they served the Lord in China for about 50 years. What's the point? See, when you know what Jesus has done for you, you'll give. You won't have to be coaxed or badgered. You'll give. Now, some of you, it's a test, isn't it? Some of you don't give much of your time, of your tithes. Well, that's because you don't love Jesus much. It's that simple. It's that simple. See, everything we do here, we have toddlers and fun days and youth and kids club and things. Everything is free. Everything is financed because Christians here give. It's that simple. We don't need jumble sales, and we don't go around the doors banging on the door saying, oh, give us some money for a new window. It's everything is financed because the Christians give. Now, there are three types of church givers. The flint, you bang and bang and bang, you don't get much. The sponge, you have to squeeze, and in the end, you get something. And the honeycomb, where it just overflows. Which best describes you? Be honest with yourself. This widow gave from her heart. I remember as a young Christian reading of Paul Brand. He was a leper surgeon in India. And there was this colony. It was all fenced off because obviously leprosy was highly contagious. And there was these tourists taking photos outside. And there was this Christian nurse, and she was bathing some of the lepers and so on. And this tourist shouts through to her to come, and he says to her, you know, I just commend you for your care for these poor people. You know, what are you doing? I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world. And she said, neither would I, but I do it for Jesus. And that's it, you see. That's it. In the previous church I was in, if ever I wanted anything prepared, and I wanted to make sure that it was done on time and to a high spec, high level, there were two people in the church. They were the two busiest people in the church. But I would always ask them, because I knew they would give themselves to whatever I asked, because they'd given their lives to Jesus. What do you give? I remember sitting in Seaview School there in the staff room after I'd taken an assembly, and one of them asked, can I ask you, are you allowed to drink alcohol? I said, am I allowed? I'm free. I am free in Christ. I can do what I like. This is not cell block H. I am free. I'm free to drink a pint of beer in a pub. I choose not to, but I'm free. I'm free to dress smarter than everybody else on a Sunday, which I do, as you can see. I'm free to watch Wales play rugby on a Sunday afternoon. I choose not to. I'm free to give money for the work of the gospel, for the work of the kingdom of God. I am free to give myself for Jesus' sake. When I became a Christian, I was teaching in Maesteg, and I wrote around to all the ministers. I knew nothing at all about anything. I put on the top of the letter, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, so they knew where I stood, and I basically asked for help. I had one reply, a charismatic pastor in Maesteg, and he gave me every Monday lunchtime for a year. He gave me an hour. I would rush from school to have a cup of tea and a pasty with him. Why did he do that? Give an hour. Because he had given his life to Jesus, and he looked on me, this poor dab, who was absolutely clueless, saved but no idea, with a bag of tools but no idea what to do with them, if you like. And he gave me all that time. He gave his time. Do you give your time? Perhaps you're sitting there saying, yeah, but I haven't got much money. Okay, but do you give yourself? The widow didn't have much either. See, Christianity is not rules and regulations. It's not ticking the boxes. The Christian, the genuine Christian, is driven by love for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament, Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, a person who delights to give. The two people, God willing, who are coming tonight, David and June Griffiths, they've served the Lord for years. She reminded me, she rang me yesterday, she said, last time we came, you called us a couple of old fogies. Well, there we are then. But I said, you're old fogies who've never lost your zeal. You haven't lost your love for Jesus Christ. They've been serving the Lord for at least 50 years, more than that. Why? They've given. Now, I was watching a preacher on cable TV about 5 or 10 years ago, and I had read that his estimated salary, this preacher, was over $500,000. That was his salary. And immediately when I read that, it reminded me of the Phil Collins song some years ago. He was sending up the American evangelists on TV, you know, that he saw out there. And I was thinking, here's this guy now, very cool guy with a massive congregation in Asia. If it's true that his salary is $500,000, then we need to sit him down and question seriously his profession of faith. Because the Savior, he says he's talking about, gave himself for sinners sacrificially. As I have loved, says Jesus, so you must love. There are people, there are Christians, they got no Bibles. $500,000 will buy a lot of Bibles. There are Christians who've never really been taught. They need good theological training and literature. There are people, many people, who've never heard the gospel once. There are Christians living on the breadline. So, if you're a Christian, do you give? It's a test. Do you give? Do you give your time? Let me just pause to make it clear. It doesn't mean if you stick your hand in a pocket and put the money in the plate that you're saved. It doesn't mean that suddenly rushing around giving lots of time will make you a Christian and get you to heaven. That's the way religious people think. They think, I do, therefore God will accept me. This is the other way around with Christianity. Because I'm accepted, because I'm forgiven, because I'm now a child of God, I'm now born again, now I give. That's what the Bible says. See, nothing a sinner does is acceptable to God. Only Jesus is good enough. See, only Jesus, nobody else is good enough. You remember Cain and Abel, you know, Abel brings what he should, and Cain comes, and he says, God, I haven't got what you require, but it's all right, I got a bribe. I got a present for you. Something you're not asking for, but if I give you this now, you'll get off my back. But everything Cain did was an abomination to the Lord, because Cain was an abomination. See, you can't give an acceptable gift unless you're accepted yourself. Are you accepted in Christ? It'll show the way you give. So let me just make it clear. Religion says, I give, therefore God may accept me. The Christian says, God has accepted me, and therefore I want to give. See the difference? A massive difference, isn't it? Because Jesus lives, I live. I live a new life. I'm not trying to live a new life. This is important now, because some of you are trying, perhaps. You can't try to live a new life. It's an abomination to God to try when he's offered his son. God doesn't want you to start giving. If you're not a Christian, we don't want your money at all. God doesn't want your cash. If you're not a Christian, God wants you. That's what he sent his son for. He wants you to come to him, to trust him, to love his one and only son. And you can't just decide to love Jesus. You can't just decide to love somebody, can you? But when you realize what Jesus has done, you, out of your heart, just like the widow, it'll overflow. And you'll be thrilled all the changes that Jesus will ring in your life. You know, I remember about 10 years ago, preaching in Cardiff University in the Christian Union. And afterwards, up came a guy, an Asian guy, and he said to me, "Your message is blackmail, mate," he said. And on, we had a bit of a discussion. I said, "Hang on now then, hang on, let's put it like this. Here's this room. There's a fire. And I tell you that that fire door, that door is your only way out. So here we are, there's a fire in hell. Almighty God tells you that his son Jesus is the only door, the only way out. Is that blackmail? Blackmail?" You know that brilliant illustration I heard years ago? When you come to Christ, he opens his wallet, he gets out his debit card, and he says, "Look at your debts, they're massive. Here's my PIN number. Here's the card. Wipe out those debts, now pay them off. Keep the card. Remember the PIN number. If you're ever in debt again, just don't hesitate. Use my name. Use my PIN number. Use my card." That's it. Is there a better offer anywhere in the world than that? Blackmail. He's offering himself to you now. And all that's his can be yours. All that's his can be yours. When C.T. Studd, a previous century, famous sportsman, aristocrat, very wealthy guy, when he heard the gospel, at last realized what Jesus has done. He gave up his glittering sports career. He gave up his wealth, his mansion. And he said, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, no sacrifice I make can ever be too much." And off he went to serve the Lord for years on the mission field. Now, where are you in all this? Where are you? Just think now about how you give. Yeah, money, but also your time. You just think. And if you think just for a short time, you know where you are. You know where you stand before God. And it's pretty certain, I would have thought, that for some of you, you've just never been saved. That's your problem. You need to come to Jesus. I can't help you. You need to come as you are and beg him to forgive you and change you.